plus minus.
Curry, way downtown.
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh,
tell Marcus that he asked the, that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Welcome to a new edition of Warriors Plus Minus. Yes, we're in between back-to-back games, but that Knicks game was enough to pod off of. And we can look a little bit ahead to the Toronto game, which will be happening tonight. I've got Tim Kawakami, who's still in the Bay. I've got Anthony Slater, who's somewhere on the East Coast. And we've got a team that's won 7 consecutive road games to discuss. Anthony Slater, how was the Big Apple? Did you party?
It was cool. No.
Come on, who goes to New York and doesn't party?
I hear you got kicked out of Madison Square Garden. Is that what I hear? Is that
correct? They kick everybody out. I think of the rules like 90 minutes after the last Knicks interview, and of course they just race the Knicks
That's unbelievable.
They boot you. I mean, it is the most,
It's not like it's a place to stay at, right? It's not like, ooh, I would love to stay in Madison Square Garden. Like,
if you gotta work.
Pacific time zone deadlines.
I'd much rather get to my room.
Will they kick out ESPN too, doing all their live reports?
I mean, it's an over patrolled arena, where they plant us way up there to watch the game, they try to keep us away at every opportunity. It is the type of arena experience you would just love, Tim Kawakami.
I know. I'm sorry. Already going. I am never going there. I am never. I was there for the finals. What was it? San Antonio beating the Knicks. That Tim 99. Duncan. Yeah, and that one's
wow.
Yeah, I don't think I've been there. So maybe I've been through there with covering the Lakers another time, but I don't need to go there. There's always so much going on there too. Like there's the zoo, like the circus coming in all the time. It's like I hate that stuff. As we know, I don't go to.
It was one of the more disappointing arenas, to be honest. Yep. Like I was so hyped to get there, and you get in there, and you're like, this is it.
And they redid it, right? They redid it not that long ago, and it's still not that great. And it's just in the middle of stuff. It's it's a place. It's good energy, but
great energy.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good energy. And you see
history,
but as a just walking
it's
around,
definitely a vibe. But yeah, you're not.
Like, when you walk around it, you go like, this feels like a circus. This is where the elephants are. Over. That's what it felt like to me. Like you could always feel there's 5 other things going on. They're planning for. Maybe that's why they kick you out. But I mean, other places have other things going on too. They don't kick you out. But
it's the world's busiest arena.
Yeah, there's just always stuff that isn't related to the thing you're there for. Even if you're there for like the NBA. They've got other things on their mind. They just
it's
want
on well, and it's on top of Penn Station.
Yes,
it's like one of like it's just like this travel hub. The court is basically on the 6th floor, right? You
Or 7 or something. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Boston one, which I know you guys have been doing more recently.
Do not like the Boston one. Do not like it.
Well, that's where I'm going Sunday for the big ABC game. So,
we could stop doing this. I know people tune in this for Warrior stuff, but you can always tell the arenas that also have hockey. They just feel more, out, they're too big. They're not personal. There's not intimacy because they have to be bigger for the hockey. And one of the, not that it's a big deal because they don't have a hockey team, but one of the decisions that Lake had made on the new Chase Center was like, we're not going to make it to suit hockey. So it's going to be tighter. There's going to be better sight lines. It's going to be a better feel to it. Like Crypto is a hockey arena. It's huge. Like these dual purpose arenas aren't great for basketball sight lines, and MSG is like the original one. So anyway, let's
a bit of history before we talk Warriors. I was reading in this one book how the same people who built the Garden obviously built Madison Square Garden. They had planned to build like 9 across the nation. They got the first one in New York, ran out of money on the second one, and that was it. You could find out about that in Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams.
Great promo. Great.
Wow. Came out of the left field with that one. Wow. I was like, where is he going with this?
All right. I'll spin it to last night and I'll promo myself. You could read. I wrote about Moses Moody's individual defense. That was to the Warriors.
Moses Moody is like the wisest dude of all time, right? Like, He's like his quotes to you were like,
yeah, "Oh my god!" I was like, reading,
"Who is this guy?" He's like 75 in his head. It's unbelievable.
Somebody quote tweeted that my story and was like, "Is this? Is he actually Moses?"
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's good. Well, I read your story. Very good story as always. And I guess I went over the quote quickly, but then I saw your quote tweet. I went, "Yeah, is this from a novel somewhere, or is this from like a think piece?" Because it was deep. It was really deep. Really perfect references. And he's going through it. You know, it's almost like Kerr coaches to that, like the guys who do have patience, who can go through this, who go up and down, who don't play, then play.
Those
then
are the ones
play.
Get hustled.
Those are the ones who do get it. Like, you know, if you can't handle it, maybe he doesn't do it as much.
If you know, pop off to Shavs, you know what I'm saying?
Then you get, you sit down with Steve and you're going to be in the starting lineup. It's just, you know, it's because it's Looney and Moody. We always compare them, and Kerr compares those two guys, and they're the ones who get yanked in and out of the lineup all the time. Moody played great. He played he's perfect matchup for Brunson. That strength, length thing that the Warriors don't have a ton of on the wings, you know, obviously with Wiggins out, we'll talk about that. But Moody does that stuff. Like, he does big wing stuff. He's not going to explode to the basket. You know, he's not going to create his own shot. Things can get a little bogged down with him offensively, but man, and he's not great laterally on defense, but he does a lot of other tough stuff, and it's noticeable when he's out.
7 foot wingspan.
Yeah, he's lengthy.
And he's strong. He's strong.
Yeah, strong. And he talked about it last night. I don't even know if I even put the quote in the story, but, you know, he feels like he can have his body, you know, in good enough position to react to like kind of the drive, whilst the length, the 7 foot wingspan, can still get to the mid-range jumper. He feels like he's really profiles as a good defender against guys who live in the mid-range, particularly, I mean, we would say, he didn't necessarily say this, but power guys like Brunson, not speed guys, right? Ja Morant can get to the mid-range, but Ja Morant wants to zoom by you. Moody's, I guess, weakness defensively would be lateral quickness, but his strength is, like, you know, you saw it last night. I know I mentioned it on the podcast that she'll not be named, but there was a possession with 6 minutes left. The Knicks had cut it to 5. The Warriors controlled the whole game. They led end to end, only the second time all season. But the Knicks had cut it to 5. The crowd was really getting into it. Burks tries to get to his mid-range, which is like, you know, it's just really skilled mid-range, you know, kind of operator. It just seemed to me like he was going up for his normal little, like, pump and mid-range. And Moody blocked it. He blocked it so well, he blocked it like to himself. Like, it didn't just, oh, I tipped it. He blocked it to himself, threw it up to Kuminga, and 1-5 goes to 7 with a chance to score 8. Whereas if Burks just makes that mid-range, it's down to 3. And it never got that low. So I felt like that was an important moment. But within that, also just the work he did on Brunson. You know, you have to pick and choose who you have him defend. But this seems like a moment for Moody, although I kind of asked him, I want to see what you guys think. Like, is this Moody's moment to finally grasp it?
Listen, like, at some point it has to end, right? Like, he can't keep going through this where he gets sat, he comes back and play, and then it's like, oh man, Moody's great. Moody's great. Look at Moody. He does all the things. He's great. He's a professional. Like, at some point, being a professional has to actually reward him. Right, it's got to pay off, and it's especially jarring when they keep running Dario Saric out there, and he's a minus just about every time he plays. So, like, we've seen Moody come off the bench and do good things in the playoffs, and, you know, in big series, we've seen him do it for stretches of the season. But like TK said, because he's not going to be a problem when he gets set, he ends up getting set. But at some point, it feels like, for the integrity of the entire system and the Warriors' way, like, he's got to get a real shot. And it can't be, all right, we're going to sit him back down again so we can see if another player gets going. Like Moody's paid his dues. And, you know, for Looney, it changed when, in the Memphis series, when the starter said, hey, but we want Looney here, right? And then he couldn't come out of the lineup for the longest time. It took, 2 months of struggle for him to finally lose his rotation spot. To me, it feels like Moody has paid his dues. Like, he's done it. This is 3 years now. Like, he should stop getting the short end of the stick. He should just lock in a spot. And I don't care, veteran, whoever, they should just have to wait, because this dude does all of the little things, and they win games in margins. Like, they can't afford They can't afford to go three possessions, bad possessions in a row. Like they get, that's how they get leads back. Moody does all those little things. Hustle for loose ball. He made one play. Was that last night or night before where he chased down a ball and saved
that? That was in Washington.
Yeah, Washington,
yeah.
Like those little, he always does that. Like he'll take a bad shot or he'll get blown by, but he'll always fight for rebounds. He'll always hustle. He'll always give you something. And you can't keep not playing this guy for people who really will give you nothing and you're hoping they give you something.
Well, Chief, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
I was going to say name.
Well, right
name,
now I'm talking about Sarge. Right now I'm talking about Dario Sarge, right?
Yeah.
I think he could take some of Pajimski's minutes too.
Pajimski, by the way, is doubtful in Toronto tonight. He tweaked his knee. It was kind of hurting postgame. I think they just listed him as doubtful, not to say out, because he was like, I play through this. So,
but yeah, it's those are minutes that Moody can get. He can get minutes from Clay. He can get minutes from Sarich. He can get minutes from GP2. He can get minutes from Wiggins, right? I mean,
he is getting minutes from Wiggins,
and maybe he will continue to get them. And I think he's earned them. And specific to Sarich, clearly Kerr and Draymond talked about on the TV after, like, they want CP3 to get Sarich going. But you can keep saying it, and if it doesn't happen, you can't just keep going to it, and they're getting nothing from Sarich, or as MT, so they're getting negative from Sarich. That fourth quarter start, Sarich is out there, and the Warriors have an 11-point lead. It's going to be 6 by the time he's out. It might be less. Yeah. It's just the way it's going to go. He's not making a shot. He's one of those guys now. If he's not making a shot, there's not a lot of reason to have him out there.
TK. Yeah, like he walks on as a minus. The other team is like, Sarich is on the court. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get a bucket. He's a minus.
Yeah, it's a combination they're hoping for. I don't see it at this moment. I think Kuminga could get those minutes. I mean, you know, Moody could get those minutes too in certain matchups. They're playing, other teams play small on the second unit, and you can easily play small against Sarich, and you kill the Warriors because you bring him out to the three, and then like he tries to post up because the smaller guy's guarding him, and he can't post up against anybody. So it's a really bad set of circumstances. It can be Moody. It could be Kuminga. It could be Draymond. Like in down the road, if this continues, and I can't imagine they're going to go much longer with it, though we know Kerr can get stubborn about this, it's going to be other people. There's minutes there. There are minutes. We've talked about the jam. We've talked about all these, you know, roster rotation issues, but there are minutes there. You can see them. I mean, it's pretty clear where the minutes are. Chris Paul's not giving up minutes from 22 to 26. Kuminga should be getting more than 30 minutes. He can be getting 34. There's other minutes to get. And, you know, Sarich is a clear one. We'll see how long Kerr goes with that. And we'll see how long Wiggins is out. You know, it might be a while.
I mean, Draymond saying in a post game that Chris Paul, you know what Chris Paul's going to do? He's going to unlock Sarich, which means they do recognize Sarge is locked.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like that's the other thing.
Like he basically is saying it. But the ethos of this season is, if you're not producing, like, there's too many guys, somebody else takes your minutes. And it's been true for everybody but Moody. Like, that's...
Well, Moody's the sacrificial lamb on it all. But, I mean, he's doing the same thing with Looney as he's with Sarge. It's like he's given these little, like, chunk minutes to keep them engaged and saying that, hey, long-term playoffs, all that, they're going to need Looney at some point. They're going to need Sarge. They want to keep them, you know, I guess, active. But again, he's also being like, I'm playing 11 men in the rotation. And I don't know that that's sustainable. But it's been the problem of the whole season, right? No, you know, question. We were talking consolidation trades going back to like mid-November.
Oh, yeah. 3-1, 3-for-1, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, I just can't. I think at some point they're going to, if this keeps up, Sarge has got to come out of the rotation. It just has to, especially Moody's playing like this. I don't know about Looney, might always get that end of first, end of third quarter set of minutes there.
Well, they're keeping Draymond's minutes way down.
Yeah. What's he, 29, 31, like in that range these days?
It's even less. Like, keep talking. I'm going to.
That's the TJD minutes, right?
So you're going to play super long stretches.
Yeah. It's the TJD Sarge minutes, and Draymond sitting out the whole time. It's almost like a quarter at a time.
Draymond hasn't played 31 minutes since the All-Star break. He's 29, 21, 21, 27, 29, 27. So
yeah, it's that long break there. And maybe it's good for him. You know, maybe he needs that those minutes, especially when he's guarding Jokic. But he is, you know, that's the TJD. Like, it's the double. You're getting Looney to back him up, and then you're getting TJD to back him up. So those minutes add up to Draymond sitting 10 minutes a half, and that will take you down to 28 minutes. So I don't know, you know, playoffs, that won't happen. Stretch run, maybe that won't happen. But it's interesting to see, like, Kerr is cutting back on the minute count for a lot of people. It's still a jam. It's still tough to get everybody in there. And I think Saric is the one that we're all looking to, maybe, you know, does he, I'm like, is he going to start that second quarter? Is this the night Kurt doesn't start? Oh no, there's Saric is starting. I'm just speculating. Maybe
then it's like a 6-0 run by the other team.
Washington, they were good. And when you're talking about this second unit, it's only been two games. They were not good in the next game.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and Saric could turn around, or it could be because CP3 and Clay are good, right? I mean, that could be the reason. There's all these things. There's all context to everything. But when you, MT's right. If Steve's going to say, I can't play with 12 guys, you know, this rotation is, I know everybody's competing for minutes, and it's true and it's accurate, then it's hard to keep explaining why Saric is getting these minutes, other than we hope it gets better. We hope.
And he was for a stretch, like you saw it, right? He was making his threes. It was impactful. He's still a good passer, even though when he's trying to do too much, it's almost a guaranteed turnover. But
there's too many post touches for him. They love to give him it in the mid post. Well,
because the smalls are guarding him. That's the problem. Like, nobody has to put a big man on him.
Who was it? Oh, it was Aaron Gordon. It was like, timeout. Denver's going to run a color timeout. Come out of the timeout and post up Saric against Aaron Gordon. Like, I was like, this is not good. No. This is not good.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife, Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
He's got to make some shots. If he doesn't make shots, it's over. But I agree with you, TK. I do think those minutes, like, even though I'm like advocating for Moody, like, that those probably should be Kuminga's minutes. Like, he's a 35, 36 type guy. And if your second unit has Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, and Jonathan Kuminga, like, that's pretty good.
Kuminga's currently playing about 6 minutes, getting taken out for 3 minutes, coming back in and playing basically the final three with the second unit to close the first quarter next to Looney. He's got that little Looney pocket. And then to open the second quarter, he's out again, and Saric is in. Whereas I agree, like, that should just probably be Kuminga. And then Kuminga's up in the 32 to 36 minutes. And you know what? He's not only at this point their second or third best player, like, he is the young guy who should be, like, playing 35 minutes a night.
Yeah,
they were calling him a star openly at this point, by the way.
He belonged on the big stage last night. And I talked about this last night on the Lost episode. I think him bumping with Brunson was a big deal. Like, he could have been called for an offensive foul. We all agree with that one.
That was an offensive
foul. It was like, hey, get out of my way. I'm going to give the two small signs. Like, this are all signs of a young star. This is what young stars do. They start feeling it. They start growing before you. They start, you know, getting a little wild horse, but it's also wild horse. You can do some wild horse, really positive stuff.
And those three-point plays at the end.
Yeah, like, I'm going to get fouled. I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish with my left hand. I'm going to finish with my right hand.
22 of 33 on this two-game road trip, and only one attempted three.
Yeah, and which was a wide-open one, kind of went in and out late last night, kind of had to take it. I was thinking, it was towards the end of the shot clock. Steph created for him. You might as well try if you think you can make it, and he hasn't been making
it. He doesn't want to completely cut the three out of the game because I think it is a little bit – disrespectful to him when people just try to put on him, hey, you can't and shouldn't shoot threes. I think he still wants to show, like, look, I believe in my three.
Yep.
But he has also more than ever accepted the fact, he even said it last night, basically, like, we have guys on our team who shoot threes. I'm the guy that's supposed to do the other stuff, give us energy by getting to the rim. I mean, they keep mentioning it, but, like, yeah, to what he's made 22 shots in two games. I would say, what, 20 of those are probably at the rim, like maybe two short mid-rangers, and that's it.
Yeah, and you get fouled, that way. Yes. You get the other team into the bonus. You get yourself, I'm sorry, into the bonus. You create free throws for your teammates. You get set on defense. All these things he does. He has a really good yell to get the foul, too, by the way. Like, oh, oh, oh! And he gets the whistle, and he's going to go to the line.
I mean, yeah, you know, he was raising that foul drawn error, right? He know how to do it.
Absolutely.
He was also extremely excited about this road trip, because I remember talking to him before it about, like, I'm going to play in New York. I'm going to play in Boston. I'm excited about, you know, particularly New York, right? He spent some time living in New York in high school. And I was like, you know, you played there before. He's like, I've played there before, but I haven't played there before.
There were six games three games in Boston in a very big series not that long ago. And he didn't
remember. He's like, he's like, I had a great, great front row seat to that one. But yeah, he was even, so he has like that, you know, big 30-minute game last night, a bunch of, you know, whatever, he's probably like the star of the game, and he's just post game just on the bike going, and like, to your point of like, the guy can play so many minutes just like athletically right now.
I don't know if Kerr wants him with TJD. I'm just trying to figure this out. Yeah, maybe that's it, you know,
two rim runners, right?
Two rim, but you know, might get thrown off defensively. Like, do you want that for your back line? But Saric and TJD,
listen, come on.
I think it's more an offensive thing. Sarge is supposed to be the
floor stretcher,
spacer and connector, right? The passing connector. That's the theory, but whatever.
You got to put that. He's gonna make shots, and if he's not making shots, eventually that's gonna need to change. But they like him. Like, he's like, you talk about the locker room, Matt. Like, Looney and Sarge are good guys in the locker room.
Sarge is a great dude. And, you know, he'll probably get it. He's a vet, right? He's been around. He's had slumps before. He'll probably...
Remember when Bielitsa stopped shooting last season? Yep. You know, he just stopped shooting. He was supposed to be a stretch five.
And then he shut down Jokic.
He goes to the playoffs.
He had moments.
He's a stopper. We got to play Bielitsa out there. I don't know that Sarge is going to do that, but I understand the thinking. Kerr loves those kind of guys.
By the way... Bielitsa, I know the years run together. Bielitsa was 2 years ago. Do you remember who the actual Bielitsa role was?
Jermichael Green. I was thinking I forgot.
The forgotten year, Jermichael Green.
There's a lot of guys who've run through there and who have not been good. We've seen a lot of guys in that role. And you go, okay, he can't play.
Oh, my goodness.
Jermichael Green. He started
Lakers, by the way, over Kuminga. I remember going in that game. It was like, well, might they, like, this could be the series that they try to unlock Kuminga. And it's like, now they're starting Jermichael Green. And again, the theory was
draw AD out.
Like, I get it. Yeah. And it was strategic, but it's just, it is kind of wild to think back. Like, you know, Jermichael Green.
I'd forgotten about Jonathan him too. Until I started thinking about who was in that role. I was trying to think who was in that. We've been through this before, and it was Jermichael Green. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful Warrior. Great Warrior, as they say.
Okay. We should talk Wiggins, because, you know, part of why, you know, this. Opportunities open up for Moody's, because Wiggins is now tonight in Toronto going to miss a third consecutive game as he deals with a personal family matter. It obviously brings up memories of last season where he missed the final 25 games dealing with a personal matter. My sense, again, I said it last night on the live room we did, but my educated guess, whatever you want to call it, it's like, I don't think this is going to be a super long extended absence. They're being purposely vague and purposely private, because that's Andrew Wiggins' wishes about what's going on, but also expected timeline to return. Steve Kerr's in contact with him. Rick Celebrini's in contact with him. But we'll see. Again, like, I'm hesitant to, like, firmly say anything, because, again, it's all vague, but I don't know how you guys feel. I don't get the sense like Andrew Wiggins is gone for the season. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think anybody got that sense last time either.
I think you started to. And again, you know, maybe this early in the process you didn't, but eventually we did.
I do think what might be different this time is the team's level of contact with him while he's out. Last time, you know, it was the first time they were definitely sensitive and determined to honor his wishes to be private. But, you know, they weren't in contact with him. Like, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what he was doing. I get the sense this time, from what I'm hearing, that people will be checking in on him more, and they'll be monitoring what is he doing physically to prepare to come back more than they did last time. So that, I think that'll be different, especially if he's not out. If he's not out long, they'll probably want him to come back and be ready to go. So I imagine that'll be different this time. But I haven't heard yet the consternation that is existing on.
They're making it clear it's excused, right?
Yeah.
And
it was excused last time. It was excused, you know. So.
It was.
No, listen, you hope he's fine. I went on long about this last night. I won't go as long this time, but I just think they're better set up for him. You know, it's not as big a void as it was last season. Last season, they had nobody else to do what he did, mainly guard the best perimeter player, GP2.
Although that was there, when Kuminga was like, oh, this guy's really breaking through.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't quite translate all the way through the season, through the postseason. But, you know, they've got guys who can do some of that. Pajemski does offensively some of those things. They've got GP2. They've got Kuminga doing the offensive things. Not he and Wiggins have been fine together. I think that was obviously a huge issue this season. But you got some other guys. They're deeper than they've been. They can put people on good, you know, guards and wings. Maybe not as well as Wiggins can do, you know, all around. Peyton can go specific players, but not. I just think you can't just say go get whoever we need you to, Jason Tatum or, you know, Kyrie Irving or whoever. But they're better fit to it. You know, they just are. We've seen it. Like they're not as lost without that player, largely because Kuminga does so many things. Like, you know, go inside, go take the, you know, take somebody on the post, turn and score. And Wiggins did, in, you know, in 2022, Wiggins did that stuff. He's not doing it, has not done it much since then. But however long this lasts, it's better for them to have Wiggins than not to have him. But I don't think it's this, oh my God, we have no chance. I don't think the thinking is on the team that, you know, without Andrew Wiggins in there. They've been through this. It was worse before. I think they can handle it this season. Going to want him for the playoffs, going to want depth, two-way wings, all those things we know this thing has been built on. But I think especially because of Kuminga and a little Pajemski, like it's not either or. It's not, okay, we are a really good team with Wiggins, we're really bad without him. Like, that is not, the duality isn't there so much. There's a little more blend. And frankly, they haven't had him very much, right? They just haven't had a lot of Wiggins since the 2022 finals. They have not had him. So they've filled the gap with other people, and they got guys who can fill the gaps.
He's playing really well. I think that's the part that's, if anything, is frustrating about it. I mean, obviously nobody's dealing with what Wiggins is dealing with, right? Because I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to leave. Like, life is forcing him to do it. So not to diminish that, but like he was starting to play really well. This was his most efficient month. I think he was at like 60% true shooting. He had his 3-point percentage up. He was playing really well, right?
He's playing a lot of minutes too, right? I mean, yes. He was playing
them. Yeah, he was looking like the Wiggs of old, and defensively. Well,
they found that lineup, right? They found that front court lineup: Wiggins, Kuminga. Like, that was the unlocking that Draymond did of the Wiggins Kuminga lineup was like kind of the turning point of the season.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad, and then it was good. Like, that's the season right there. But it's interesting, like, even this Draymond on that post game is like, you know, people give me the credit for the defense because me showing up. No, the credit is Kuminga. That's Kuminga's play. And he didn't say Wiggins, right? I mean, Wiggins is important to them, but Kuminga's been the rocket ship. Kuminga's been like, anything that's good for Kuminga at this point is good for the team. And if they could fill it in with other people, they can. They couldn't lose Wiggins, right? I mean, they can't lose Kuminga right now. They can't do it. Like other than Steph and Draymond, then we can measure what the net third most players. I think it's Kuminga.
Other thing is right now, so Wiggins leaves the moment Chris Paul returns. So right now you're basically just turning 30 Wiggins minutes into you know, 15 Moody, 15 Paul plus some. That's not a terrible trade when it was Moody DMPs and Chris Paul injured.
Man, especially the way Chris Paul is looking.
Chris Paul looks good. Yep. He does. He's shooting it well, as I know you've noted. He's just calm. He's confident out there. I mean, no surprise, right?
He closed the game last night.
The one thing about him, when he's healthy and he's playing, like, he does not think he's falling off. At all, especially when you talk to him. I don't know. Do you guys see?
You can't talk to him without him reminding you.
Nine-time all defense.
Nine-time all defense.
He's gonna let you know just in case.
I think I made all nine all time.
Don't call me point guard for nothing. I'm still here.
I was talking to him in Washington a little bit about, like, you know, imagine if you stayed in Washington, right? Well, you weren't rerouted. I was like, you know, thinking like, hey, it'd be kind of a miserable season, right? He's like, I don't think the record would be the same, you know.
You're like, hold on. I've done this before, but
yeah.
I've done this too, actually.
Okay. There were some Oklahoma City history lessons mixed into that.
I ain't Tyus Jones. I ain't Jordan Poole. This is a different game.
You know, talking to him, like, you know, hey, there's going to be some nights you're not going to close. He's like, he's doing the team thing, like, hey, where I'm all about winning. He's like, but I am who I am, like, and I know what I do. So I think you could just, right, there's just, you see that on the court, the way he operates. And the way they look for him, Tim, you mentioned it, like, late in the game, right? Like, Draymond and Steph are even at times are getting kind of panicky with the ball. They're like, hey, Chris, take it. And then he does the – let me take the pressure. Let me bump the guy.
He does
off.
That reverse spin, puts his body on the defender, dribbles
it
out.
You can tell he's done it 2 million times, right?
The Warriors don't have someone who does that, though. Like, it's more God. Like, well, I got the ball and somebody's come after me. Let me get rid of it. And the ball goes right to the opponent. And that's important. And we've seen how many fourth quarter flameouts where they just haven't had people who could just dribble out of trouble. I can dribble out of trouble.
And that's why Iguodala was so important, right? Yes. He could get the ball, and he's fine.
It just takes a reverse spin. It really takes a reverse spin. They don't have no one who does that except for him. Like,
well, Steph can do it, but he's spinning right into the double.
Yeah,
they got two guys coming.
Yeah, they got two guys coming at him.
Andre Iguodala, who was at the game last time. First time I've seen him at a Warriors game.
And PA president, right? Acting president, acting whatever he is.
Yeah, acting president. Very active role. And rumor is he's going might be in Boston on Sunday as a guest of Mr. Lakeham.
Yeah, I can see that. It's Andre's, you know, we can talk about this later, but Andre's growing influence is going to be very interesting because I don't think he's just temporarily going to be a big you know, he's been a major member of the PA for a while, but now as a retired player, I think he's going to move into more, you know, more and more important roles.
I think he's passionate about it too, right?
Yeah. Like, he'll be commissioner one day or something.
Yeah, something. Like, there's something, you know, where he's moving into something and he has so much respect. I think he feels that people, you know, Chris Paul respects him. There's not a lot of people at Chris Paul, like, says, hey, what do you think? Andre's one of them. Obviously, all the Warriors guys. Steph is such an important person. I think LeBron respects him. Like, these are... I see this happening with Andre. Did you know, MT, that Rudy Klein-Thomas is now vice chairman of Leeds United? I don't know. What the hell is Andre's guy? It's like, we've both dealt with him. I saw him at 49ers a couple times. I didn't think much of it. 49ers have made him a vice chairman of the friggin' Leeds United. Wow. I just saw that and went, hey, that's a guy who got mad at me a couple times about things I heard about Andre. Now he's vice chairman of Leeds United. It's cool. All right. We took another sidetrack there. Sorry about that.
Well, I think we've done a solid, you know, middle of a back-to-back podcast. Anything, I mean, the Sunday game is the one, you know, look. Oh, I should say, and I know I reported it, the Warriors, like, it might be a tough game for the Warriors in Toronto. I don't know. At this point, you probably already have seen it and know what happened, but they had plane issues getting out of New York. They didn't leave till like 4:45 a.m. They didn't get to their hotel in Toronto until 7 a.m., past 7 a.m., their veterans are going to play, but you know, it profiles as a potentially very
cooked,
fatigued game.
It might be a quick look. It might be more of a Lester Quinones, Jerome Robinson.
And ooh,
you know who might have the legs for it though.
Moses Moody,
Jonathan Kuminga,
Moses
Moody, yeah,
Moses Moody,
But you know, we'll see. Let's just quickly. Do we think this is are the Warriors destined to be a team that causes some make some noise in the playoffs? Are we seeing this now? Can we safely say this is a team that could win a first round series and then have a shot in a second round series?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, obviously, it depends on matchup. Getting Denver in the first round would be tough. But I do feel like a couple of – I think even Denver wouldn't want to play the Warriors first round, right? I think that's the level they are. Same as last year, right? Like, you know, six seed get in. It's like, you really got to deal with Steph Curry and now Jonathan Kuminga and obviously Draymond.
So. Ruining the Kings' golden season.
I know, right?
That, now the Kings are shot, what, eight? Huh? Kings are eight now?
Kings are tumbling. Kings are probably besides the Lakers, probably the easiest target left for the Warriors to hop. And the Kings are in Minnesota tonight. So that's another.
It could be a Warriors King 7-8. How about that? 7-8 play.
Put it in Golden 1 Center and sign me up.
Slater's there. Slater's there.
Tim Kawakami's probably there for that.
I've made every Warriors Kings game in Sacramento in the playoffs so far. I can't see it ending now.
Missed the big in season tournament game.
Okay, I could do that. I'll miss those.
But they're setting up pretty. The Warriors have 11 games against losing teams. Like, they need to win the lion's share of those.
And they have throughout the season. That's the one thing. When they were struggling, you just looked at they'd had a hard schedule. Like, they kept playing Minnesota and Denver and Oklahoma. Like, and you knew it was going to soften up because you can't play those teams all the time. And so many of these other teams fatten up on the bad teams. And the Warriors have played them well. It's not like they've kicked away a bunch of these games to bad teams. They played them too close a couple times, but they are traditional this season have been good against the bad teams. And I just think sometimes the way I think about it is what would the other team want? Jonathan Kuminga playing 36 minutes or Jonathan Kuminga playing 25 minutes? They would not want Kuminga playing 36 minutes. The more Kuminga plays, I think the more dangerous they are. Now he's got to be ready for it. He could screw up some games, no question. He's a young player, but if they can get Kuminga into a 36 minute role, I just think that's the team that can be pretty scary for anybody in the playoffs. Not saying they're going to win two rounds. I'm just saying if the opponent's going to say, get Saric in there for 14 or Saric in there for zero and Kuminga at 36, I know what the opponent's going to want. And I think maybe the Warriors would be headed that way. And probably get Moody in there for 15 to 18. That's an interesting team in the playoffs.
Steph Curry said it last night. He feels like they've formed an identity, and that's big because I think all year he's basically been telling us that they don't have an identity. So he senses something's kind of brewing. We'll see though. You know, big games coming up: Boston Sunday, Milwaukee Wednesday. No Wiggins potentially in those games, which means one less wing defender to deal with all those wings. So we'll see. But anything else? Should we get out of here?
Let's get out of here.
We are done. Until next time, people, Warriors Plus Minus is out.